I begin in the name of Allah, the most kind, the most merciful. It's due to that kindness and mercy that we get these opportunities where we gather in remembrance and glorification of Him, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. In the previous discussion, we covered the fourth part of the sermon number 83, or Khutbatul Gharra, of our first Imam alayhi salam, and he in that segment or in that portion he described for us or painted a picture of Akhirah for us and what Akhirah will be like after resurrection. In this particular passage, the Imam alayhi salam comes back to dunya but then connects our responsibility in dunya with how Akhirah will be for us. And this is literally how this sermon is. These are tidbits that the Imam alayhi salam gives us to awaken our spirits to realize that we have more to work for than just what we see in front of us. And so the Imam alayhi salam begins this section by saying, Ibadun makhluqun iqtidaran. People have been created as a proof of His power, Allah's power. And they have been brought up with authority or conquest. Now, wa marbubun iqtisaran. Marbubun comes from the word rub. So it means to raise, to nurture, to allow it to grow. You would allow a plant to grow. And iqtisaran almost means out of compulsion or force. And so both of these first two statements, we're going to go into more detail on it, especially the first statement. But both of these first two statements, that people have been created as a proof of Allah, as a proof of His power, and have been brought up with authority. Both of these refer to the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second one where he says, marbubun iqtisaran, it refers to how, for example, when we grow or when we age, we don't have any say-so in how our bodies change in that process. Right? So for example, a child is born and then the baby will become a toddler and the toddler will become a young person and the young person will become a youth and the youth will become an adult, and then we see a reverse of what will happen and once we become old again. It's not that I have a say-so in that process. It's not like I'll say that I want to stay a youth forever and I'm going to, right? Or as parents, we want our kids to stay babies forever because they're so cute at that age, right? And then they grow up to be us, subhanAllah. but this is something that we don't have a say-so in. And this is what it kind of means, that we have been brought up by force. There's nothing we can do by compulsion. And so both of these points refer to the power of God and that the control that God has in our existence or our sphere of existence. And then the Imam says, and they are made to die through pangs. So look, he's talking about life, right? We have been created, and then we live this life, and in that we don't have a say-so as well. We have a say-so in certain things, but obviously not what the Imam is talking about. And then we are made to die, and we die through pangs. وَمُضَمِّنُونَ أَجْدَاثًا. And then we are placed in graves, and then we will turn into crumbs. It's like the entire cycle of life given to us by the Imam. Right? And this is just the first passage of what the Imam alayhi salam is saying. So, on one hand, we have to accept the fact that we have been born with free will. Right? I don't think any one of us can deny that. It's the concept of free will that allows the day of judgment to have any impact whatsoever. If we did not have free will, then the day of judgment would be redundant because we had been forced to do everything in this life. So the day of judgment is worth something because of the free will that you and I have. And so we have a free will. We decided to come here today. Others decided to stay home today. Others decided to fast today. Some decided not to fast. This is all our choice. Nobody forced us to do anything that we do. But obviously there are certain things that are beyond our free will. For example, where I was born, I didn't have a choice in that. When I was born, I didn't have a choice in that. Who would be my parents? I didn't have a choice in that. What religion I would be in? I didn't have a choice in that. So yes, I have a tremendous amount of free will after, but there are certain aspects that I don't have free will on. Likewise, when I die, I don't have free will when I will die. I don't have free will in which place I will be where I die. Death is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so these are aspects, when the Imam says you have been created, these are aspects, sorry, that actually describe the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His control of these things, that even though you and I have been given a reign to do what we want to do in this life, the fact that the two most important things that mark my existence as a whole, the beginning and the end, without which there would be no middle, right? So the beginning and the end, which are the most vital components of my existence, are in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore true power belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though I may feel like I have the power in my hand. And so when we look at, for example, the beginning of my life that the Imam alayhi salam describes, it describes the creative nature and the creative ability of Allah to be a creationist, to create, right? And to create in such a perfect way where He did not need trials to get to a state of perfection. That's beautiful to think about that, right? Nothing in this world, no matter what is made, the makers of this laptop, it took them multiple tries, and they're still perfecting it as they go on. But when Allah creates, it is created perfect, right? It is created as if there is no better option available or no better version available. And that's the creative nature of God that describes His power. And likewise, when we look at the end of our life, it shows who authority belongs to, right? I think it's a very beautiful point that our ulama give, that, you know, like when we look at this light, for example, let's say we are looking at this light or any light, we're mesmerized by the energy that is given off from this light, and we admire this light and what comes from it. But truly, the one who has power is the one who controls the light switch. Yeah, because if the one who controls the light switch was to turn it off, we're not going to be admiring anything anymore. And so we may look at this and admire it, like we admire our lives and we admire the accomplishments that we have done. Whenever we have to get into the habit, whenever we admire the creation of God, we must then take an extra step to admire the creator of that creation. Yeah? Because true power belongs to Him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whatever beauty that I or that you can put out there would fail to compare to the beauty of the creator of this beauty. Does that make sense? Right? And so we need to learn to take that extra step of appreciation of who power belongs to, who authority belongs to, and who truly beauty belongs to. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Then the Imam alayhi salam here also talks about the pangs of death that everyone will go through. That it is an inevitable cycle that, or an end that all of us in some form or another are going to go through what's known as Sakrat al-Maut, right? And this Sakrat al-Maut is something that is, basically it is used to describe, it's translated as pangs of death, right? So the pain at the time of death or the difficulty at the time of death. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Qaf, verse number 19, Surah 50, verse number 19, He says, وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتَ بِالْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ ذَلِكَ مَا كُنْتَ مِنْهُ تَحِيدُ. Allah says that indeed the stupor of death will bring the truth. The sakarat al-maut, or the pangs of death, will bring the truth. And that is what you are trying to escape from. One of the realities of death is that death brings about haqqul yaqeen, right? And what that means is that every single person at the time of their death will be a believer. Because every reality will be made apparent to them. Things we denied will be made apparent to them. And Allah in this verse says that وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ, that these pangs of death will bring about the haqq and the truths so that everybody can see. The word sakra is used, and I think it's very aptly used by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The word sakratul maut, sakra, comes from the word sukran. And sukran basically means to be intoxicated, right? And so what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing is that at the end of our lives, most people, unless it's a death by accident, Allahu A'lam, what pangs of death they go through. But every other person who doesn't have those type of deaths, and maybe even those who do, Allahu A'lam, they will experience some form of this, right? It's a... everyone goes through it, believer and non-believer. They experience this sakaratul maut. And the sakaratul maut is described as a stupor, the way an intoxication binge will make a person into a state of being in a state of stupor, in the sense that they don't have the full control of their senses, they don't have full control of their tongue, and they're experiencing things that they can't describe. And so because of the similarity of the pangs of death to intoxication, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls it sakarat al-maut. It's a very fascinating way God describes it. And even there's a verse from surah number 22, verse number 2, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتَرَى النَّاسَ sukara, that you see people as though they are intoxicated. وَمَا هُمْ بِسُكَارَى, but they are not intoxicated, Allah says. وَلَكِنَّ عَذَابَ اللَّهِ شَدِيدٌ. Subhanallah. Yeah? He says, but rather the punishment of God is severe. He's describing in the hereafter, right? That the pain and the torture of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be so severe, you will think that the people are intoxicated, but they're not. God is saying that they're in pain right now. It's amazing, our Quran touches upon these things, right? And like I said, like I don't know what is going to take us to frighten us enough, right? Frighten us enough to become better, each and every day to become better, because that's the goal. I'm confident, my brothers and sisters, that we are not sinners in this room. I'm confident, because that would be some type of arrogance to be a sinner. You know what I mean? We can't be that type of arrogant. But we're not perfect, and it's important that we accept the fact that we're not perfect. And that when we're not perfect, there are going to be mistakes that I'll have to be taken to account for. And that we are not suited, we are not built to deal with the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are not, yeah? There is a beautiful hadith that I really like from Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. Salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Where he talks about, I think I've quoted this before, where he talks about patience in doing what God wants us to do, because sometimes my desires will contradict what God wants me to do. So I don't really want to wake up at 3:45 in the morning to pray, right? But because God wants me to, I'm going to do it. Most people wouldn't want to stay hungry for 18 hours a day. Because God wants it. So we're always putting aside our desires for the desires of God. But then there are other times when I'm not willing to do that. And so the Imam says very beautifully, he says that we feel that it is easier to be patient over what God is asking us to do now than to be patient at the adab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter. That whatever we feel is difficult now, that is an inconvenience now, it is far easier to do this now than to taste even one bit of punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're not built for it. We're not built for it. And so we need to take these warnings of God quite seriously. Now, we'll end with this, that why will people be undergoing this sakratil maut? Why will they be exhibiting these pangs of death? And there are a few reasons our ulama give us. The first one is because of their strong attachments to this world, right? If all I know is this world, if all I know is this material realm, if all I know is this material body and this material clothes, and I haven't focused my attention on the spiritual, on the metaphysical, I'm going to have a very hard time letting go of it. The first few days of Ramadan, we have a very hard time overcoming our coffee addiction, right? And that's just one drink I have in the morning. Imagine my entire being is addicted to dunya. And now I'm seeing the reality that I'm about to leave dunya. It's not an easy experience for people to undergo. And so that feeling of loss, that feeling of what's going to happen, that feeling of detachment, all of these things bring about a great deal of anxiety within individuals. And those anxiety are part of that stupor of death. And another reality or another reason why is because the veils are now being lifted. They are being lifted. That's why Allah says, وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ, that it comes bringing the truth. And so when the veils are being lifted, I'd be like, oh my God, this is what I did. Oh my God, this is what Allah had said. Oh my God, this is what's happening. And now the full brunt of this reality is sinking in. And it could be from one perspective just a fear of the veils being lifted. But I think that when a person is not doing what God asks them, then the fear aspect comes in. Like I said, everyone goes through this, even believers. But there are traditions that tell us, and we don't have time to get to it, I have a minute, that our Prophet says in a tradition that even a servant of God who is loyal will undergo sakarat al-maut because of the veils being lifted. It's a shock. There is no doubt it's a shock to the system. But he said that they will suffer it less. There will be an angel who will be holding a cup from the fountain of Kawthar, and that they will make the ruh of that body drink from that cup to calm them down, and then they will be given the glad tidings of going to see their Lord. But for those who don't have it, it's a shock to their system. And so this is the first aspect or first line of what Imam says. We will continue this on Saturday. Tomorrow is inshallah an interactive game. Wa akhiru da'wan and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammad wa alihi at-tahirin.